Well, good evening to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. If you're on the radio or on a podcast, welcome to our program, Help and Hope for Families. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member here at Family Life in the Pittsburgh area, and I'd like to welcome back to our microphones Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Yep. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back to the microphones, everyone.
Thank you so much, Tim. Appreciate it. You know, it feels like we were here just 3 minutes ago.
It sounds like it.
Yes. I know it's been last weekend, but here we are once again, 3 minutes later.
And you know what? By the way, those who would like to listen to other of our podcasts or radio programs that we've done this summer, just you can go on any of your favorite apps like iTunes app or iHeartRadio, any of those, and just plug in the search bar Help and Hope for Families. I've done too many broadcasts. Help and Hope for Families, and you'll be able to hear some of the ones we've done this year and last year as well. Well, Ron Deal, the director of Family Life's Blended and Blessed Ministries, says that 40% of families raising children in the United States are blended families. 15% of first marriages form step families. So step-family or blended families face a multitude of problems that other marriages don't have, and I think it's safe to say that divorce creates problems for each family member involved. And maybe that's why the book of Malachi in the Bible comes right out and says that God hates divorce. It was not his plan. When divorced individuals with children remarry, or if a man or a woman with children remarries after their spouse dies, it can create significant problems. So tonight we want to talk about the problems that step-families face today and the resources to help them. So, Tom, what are some of the unique problems that step families face today?
Well, you know, I think there's so many in the challenges, and we're all of that age that that we remember the days of the Brady Bunch, where they had the blended family, and in Hollywood, you know, they showed some of the problems, but it just looked so simple. You know, some of the things that I see in my counseling practice that people deal with are like issues of ex-spouses. And there's some ex-spouses out there that just try to do everything they can to make the person's
sabotage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're sharing the children, you know, the holidays, and working those things out. And visitation schedule arrangements. And children can almost feel like property or pawns because I'm 59 years old. And when I travel to visit my parents who have been divorced for over 20 years, and that going down there and trying to spend equal time and the frustration rather than just going back and visiting family. But I think one of the main things that the child can experience is this identity crisis of where do I really belong? And sometimes the parent will try to force the new step parent onto the child.
Yes.
And I've worked with some folks that have really experienced that. Living in two different homes, having belongings in two different homes, and going back and forth to that.
Well, some kids say, "Hey, I'm going to have two Christmases."
Absolutely. Well, that's what the parents will say to them. The parents sometimes will say, "Well, look, you get to have two Christmases."
Yeah,
and
two birthdays.
That's to me, that's like creating a utopia, trying to make the best you can out of a not as good situation.
Hey, Tom, I just want to interject real quickly. We want to be sensitive to people who are listening to this who are on maybe their second or third marriage. Don't want folks to hear us saying, you know, you're a bad person.
You're a bad person.
You've done a bad thing or whatever. No. What I would really want people to hear as we talk through this subject is, in the situation you're in right now in this moment, how can you make the very best out of what's going on? You may learn new things that you didn't know before in your previous marriage. Now here you are. You're getting educated on what to do going forward. Mm-hmm. You need to be the best you can be right now in the moment, in the relationship you're in. So we're not passing condemnation
Absolutely
on anyone
not.
Who has gone through.
Absolutely.
If anything, we're simply trying to be sensitive to and say, how can we support you? Person who's out there listening that's saying, I'm struggling in this blended family thing. What do I do? How do I deal with this?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's part of what this whole program is about. And we're going to be getting into that a little bit more going on. But This is a big thing in our culture, and I agree with you, Scott. They're not bad parents. They're not bad people.
No,
it's just
no.
this is what we're facing.
And they walk into church.
Yeah.
And they have a broken history.
Yeah.
And they say church is for wholesome families, whole families. I don't fit in here.
Yeah.
As well as I would like to. I feel outcast. Because this is all about all this nice family fluff and everybody's together and we don't talk too much about this brokenness. But yet 40% of the couples that walk into our church come from a background like that.
100% of the couples that walk into our church have brokenness. Whether they're a blended family or whether they're not, whether we're a whole family, whether we're not, we all come from a world of brokenness.
Yeah, so let's all just make sure everybody hears, look, we are all equal at the foot of the cross.
Absolutely.
We all bring our brokenness into any relationship we're in. So
absolutely.
God does not measure what experience we bring to the table. Regardless of how inferior we feel, that is not a measurement on God's scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
Yeah, sometimes there's even differences on how to discipline your children.
Yes, absolutely.
How does that come
into play? That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how to discipline your children, you know. And sometimes we also think about not only the parents, but what about the step-grandparents? What about the other grandparents and all that comes in? You know, ways we're going to handle money, the ways we're going to discipline the children. You know, what do I call the new step-parent? Do I call him dad? Do I call him by his name?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's this going to do to my – and so I think this puts the – and also getting accustomed to new siblings. Now they want us to act like brother and sister or siblings, and maybe I never knew this person before my current – you know, the current marriage situation. And so a lot of these things can create challenges. They're fixable challenges. Let me rephrase that. They're addressable challenges, but they're challenges nonetheless.
And I come from a broken family. My parents divorced when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my mother remarried a few years later, like 2 or 3 years later, and it turned into this, how does this new man discipline?
Mm-hmm.
He really can't. So I think that the wise concept here we want to impart upon our listeners is if you're in a situation like that, the biological parent is the one, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I believe the biological parent should be the one that carries out the discipline with the support of the one that comes in, because that one coming in they will constantly be accused, hey, you're not my dad.
Absolutely.
Hey, you're not my mom. You can't tell me this.
Absolutely.
So is there anything that we can help our listeners think of or do when it's, I have to discipline my child. I want my spouse to do that or to support that.
Mm-hmm.
How might they do that well? How would they do that well?
Well, one of the things that I would suggest, and this again, this is not, almost all therapists that I know today, their schedules are so full. And so this is not about trying to drum up business. But one of the things that we can do is we can sit down with a professional. Because as a third party, I'm listening to a couple. I've had couples arguing in my office, and I'm not getting caught up in the emotion. I'm able to stay in the prefrontal cortex. When I go home and it's Pam and me, now I find myself getting out of the prefrontal cortex and getting into the emotion. So sometimes having that third person available to sort of walk through that. And let me also say this. There may be people listening right now that are contemplating a relationship. Maybe she has children. The guy she's in a relationship with has children. They plan to marry. I strongly suggest strong premarital counseling to develop a plan going into this rather than trying to figure out what do we do when we are in the middle of it.
So you're talking proactive as opposed
Absolutely.
To reactive.
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sometimes I know that I've heard Ron Deal talk about how in relationship to what do we call, you know, the mother or the father. Some have used, this is my bonus mom.
Yeah.
Or this is my bonus dad, type of thing. Yeah. You know, as a positive type of reflection for it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, of course, you know, different belief systems can be an issue too as well. That's
Absolutely.
Why, you know, two
That's
couples,
big.
Whether they're, you know, first-time marriages, second-time marriages, mm-hmm. have to make sure they both are trusting in Christ as their personal Savior. You cannot, a house cannot be built upon two separate foundations. Absolutely. There has to be the blueprints have to be. You can't have two separate blueprints. You have to have a blueprint that's fashioned after what God wants in His Word too, as well. So, yeah, there's a person should only marry another believer in Jesus Christ too, as well. So, 66% of second marriages involving children from previous marriages end.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of Family Life's Blended and Blessed ministry, which I encourage everyone to look up, Family Life Blended and Blessed, Family Life Blended, great resources on there too as well. But blending two families together takes a lot of time. And Ron Deal, in his recent Blended and Blessed seminar that he did this spring, talks about the crock pot. In fact, they have he and his wife play a thing where they are, you know, cooking this thing, and they're looking in the, they put the vegetables and the meat in there, and 5 minutes later they open it up and nothing's happened yet.
So hard,
you know, it's still warming up. Okay, and Ron Deal says he's the director of Blended and Blessed. He says it can take 5 to 7 years for all those different ingredients in a step family to come together in a sort of a savory way. Okay, and it takes time. Sometimes we don't have the patience to wait. Okay,
absolutely.
But we have to wait. It is a crockpot experience too. So again, for those who would like to have resources on this too, as well. Like to check out blendedandblessed.com to help you navigate the problems that will arise in a blended family. And as Ron Deal says, good chefs are patient.
I love that.
That is good. Yeah. You know, Tim and Tom, all of us around the table today, I really appreciate this discussion because the people that we meet and know in our community and church, there many of them are blended families.
Mm-hmm.
What we've heard today is it's complicated.
Mm.
It takes time.
Not a microwave situation.
Right.
But
Tom reminded us that by all means, if a couple is considering marriage in a blended family, get the help you need.
Be proactive with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plan.
And if you have any questions about any of the resources that Family Life has, especially on Family Life Blended, please give me a call at 412-337-3858, or you can email me at tptuck@juno.com. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday night at the same time for another Help and Hope for Families.